With Amex Platinum, you get priority notify with global dining access by Resy, so you can get first dibs if a spot opens up at restaurants. And compliments to the chef turns into compliments to your Platinum card. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This episode is brought to you by United Airlines. When you want to make the most of your vacation, book with United. They're an airline that cares about your travels as much as you do. United is transforming the flying experience with Bluetooth connectivity, screens, power at every seat, and bigger overhead bins to help fit everyone's bag. And with their app, you can skip the bag check line, get live updates, and more. Change the way you fly. Book your next trip today at united.com.
Hey guys, welcome to Armchair Explorer. My name's Aaron Miller. I'm a travel writer and your host. And today we're going to feature the second of this month's immersion episodes. These are the ones that we record on location in stereo surround, and they're designed, we hope, to give you a little glimpse of what it feels like to be there for real. So today we're heading back to Palm Springs, that beautiful oasis in the Californian desert, with my good friend and travel writer, Mr. Brian Thacker. So Brian developed this series idea. And actually, first off, I just want to say, I love Palm Springs. I've been there loads of times. It's gorgeous. There's amazing weather in winter. Joshua trees right on its doorstep. The episode we put out a couple of months ago actually is about that. It's about adventure and Joshua tree and everything like that in the surrounding area. It's got natural hot springs, which we'll be talking about in the next episode coming up later. So what more do you want from a cheeky winter holiday than that? But one side of it that I didn't really know much about at all was its history. So during the golden age of Hollywood, Palm Springs was basically where the stars would come to party. It's only about an hour and a half, couple hours out of Hollywood. And we're talking Rat Pack, we're talking Frank Sinatra, Elvis, Marilyn Monroe, the whole lot of them. And the cool thing is, you can still soak up some of that glittery vibe today. And Brian loves all that stuff, so he's the perfect host. And it's a lot of fun. We're going to have shag houses, it's not what you think, Mr. Tiki, Sinatra's favorite haunt, lots more. It's a great story. I think it's really interesting, as well as a lot of fun, which Brian always is to travel with. So I hope you enjoy it. This is Greater Palm Springs Glamour in the Desert.
Get that butter melted, caramelize those garlic and shallots. Oh yes, now for the fun stuff. Little bit of brandy to heat things up a bit.
It smells amazing.
Just like Frank Sinatra used to love it.
Welcome to episode 2, Glamour in the Desert. My name's Brian Thacker, and I'm a travel writer. Today, we're stepping back in time to when Palm Springs was Hollywood's favorite hideaway, when mid-century architecture shaped the town, and suavely clad folk sipped martinis by the pool. In this episode, we're going to visit Frank Sinatra, or his house and favorite restaurant at least, tour the Shag House with Shag himself, meet Barbie and Elvis for dinner, and craft cocktails with Palm Springs' very own Mr. Tiki. And we're going to do it my way. I'm standing between two palm trees, overlooking a swimming pool. This could be any backyard in most of Palm Springs, but this is one special backyard. This is the backyard of Frank Sinatra's house. And in between these two palm trees, Frank Sinatra would hoist a Jack Daniels flag to announce to his neighbours that it was cocktail hour. And I'm not talking any old neighbours, I'm talking Dean Martin, Humphrey Bogart. So you could just imagine a balmy evening in 1950 and they come over, martini in hand, waltzing around, maybe go for a dip in the pool.
We're in Frank Sinatra's bedroom. He was here with his first wife, Nancy, and then his second wife, Ava, and then a little bit with Mia. But imagine waking up in bed and looking at this million-dollar mountain view.
This is Richard Kip Serafin, a guide with the Palm Springs Historical Society.
So it's floor-to-ceiling windows. We've got beautiful tongue-and-groove ceiling. We've got the Arizona sandstone. And they've got clerestorial windows. So when you're outside, you can see the glass and you see inside with the lights on or off. And when you're inside, you can see everybody outside. So it's great for party, entertaining.
And when this house was built, there was not any other houses around it, was there?
No. This was basically empty land.
Frank Sinatra commissioned the house in 1947 from architect E. Stuart Williams. He famously swaggered into a local realtor wearing a sailor's cap, eating an ice cream, and saying that he wanted a house built in time for his Christmas party. He asked for a Georgian mansion, but the architect talked him into a modern design, a style now known as mid-century or modernism style. But Frank wasn't the first celebrity to build a house in Palm Springs. It became the playground for the Hollywood elite through a quirk in studio contracts stipulating that Tinseltown actors needed to be no more than 100 miles from LA, just in case they would call back for a last-minute reshoot. Joining Frankie and the Rat Pack were stars so famous they only need their first names, Marilyn, Bing, Zsa Zsa, Liberace and Elvis. As well as the Hollywood stars came the star architects. They included John Lautner, William Cody and Albert Frey, who designed hundreds of modernist masterpieces, from homes to banks and even gas stations. And these architects did not hold back on their A-list clients' briefs or budgets. They transformed the desert into a sea of glass, steel and stucco.
Was our sound guy Jason playing the piano in Frank Sinatra's living room. How cool is that?
Too cool.
We're in the living room of Frank Sinatra's house, and there's a big grand piano here. And Kip, what can you tell us about the space here?
Well, this is your typical living room overlooking the pool, beautiful Arizona sandstone, amazing tongue and groove, indoor-outdoor. And it's got the original recording equipment that Frank used back in the day. So this was one of the original pieces of stereo equipment by the company Valentino Electronica. And it still plays to this day. You see the old turntable and everything. It's quite unique.
There'd be the bass. That's the bass adjustment right there. Crank it up.
This is radio playback.
Jason, being a sound guy, was very excited. And he got suitably nerdy. Maybe you'll have to book a stay so he can play piano all night, because, believe it or not, you can rent the house on Airbnb.
It's a wonderful vacation rental. It's got four bedrooms, beautiful pool, beautiful mountain views, and we're blocks from downtown Palm Springs.
How much would it cost to stay here a night?
It's about $2,500 a night to stay here.
But imagine doing the whole Frank Sinatra thing back when old Blue Eyes himself lived here.
Back in the days for the cocktail parties, people dressed formally. So they would be in their best attire, tuxes and things like that, walking around with a few high tops, always with a cocktail in hand. The guys, some of them would be over in the far corner there. You see the little outdoor area, seated area. They'd be there possibly smoking cigars, but everybody else would be walking around inside and outside. All these doors right here, we're in the living room now, all these doors would be open, so it flows. Everybody would be there, and then if it was a warmer day, you'd have people sitting on the side of the pool with their tux pants rolled up, or their women with their shoes off with their feet in the pool. And occasionally I would see somebody being pushed in the pool or falling in the pool.
And is there someone here maybe playing, tinkling on the piano, or they, do you think?
Absolutely, always, always. Somebody's always in the piano, and there would probably be some people singing. They would relax, and they would party, and they would socialize, and it was all about letting loose and being together. And Frank might have even been cooking in the kitchen, because he liked to cook.
Rental price scares you, or if you don't have a recording contract with Columbia, the house is open to visit during Modernism Week, a twice-yearly extravaganza celebrating all things mid-century modern. After I did it my way at Frank's house, Kip took us for a drive around the neighbourhood. We passed the former homes of Gene Autry, Elizabeth Taylor, Kirk Douglas, Barry Manilow and Liberace. But we were on our way to Dinah Shore's house, which is now owned by, well, someone I think you've definitely heard of.
We're at the Dinah Shore Palm Springs estate. It was built in 1964 by Don Wexler, famous mid-century architect who also built the Palm Springs Airport, which was his most favorite project. This is a 7,000 square foot home on 1.3 acres. And when you walk up the walkway, you'll notice the steel beams, and we call that spider leg architecture because back in 1964, steel was cheap.
Let's go inside, can't wait.
Absolutely.
The owner is a little someone named Leonardo DiCaprio. Maybe you've heard of him? We were told Leo had just left town after the Palm Springs International Film Festival. Or had he?
Oh, the maids are here. Okay. Scared me, I'm like, oh.
Just missed him. If we'd come a day earlier, we could have joined him for a cocktail by the pool.
So you look over here on our left is the baby grand piano. And it was played by Jerry Herman, who also owned the home here for over 2 years. Jerry Herman wrote wonderful Broadway shows like Hello, Dolly and Maine.
Oh, wonderful.
Adding to the celebrity pedigree of the property.
And you could tell people just a bit more about Dinah Shore, because she was huge.
She was huge. She won 9 Emmys, a Grammy, and a Peabody. She had her own TV show. And she was actually singing with Frank Sinatra at the end of the one show that she had. And she's most famous for singing In Your Chevrolet, See the USA.
After checking out all 6 bedrooms, we ended up in one of the 7.5 bathrooms. I must have really needed the bathroom a lot back in the day.
Now we're standing in the master bathroom. Back in 2008, 2009, this was redone by David Lee and his partner. And you might recall David Lee is the writer, founder, producer, creator of TV shows like Cheers and Frasier, another pedigree celebrity. So if we look in here, the whole room here is a shower. You've got a private outdoor shower, a Japanese soaking tub, a private sauna, and a private steam room. And while you're brushing your teeth, you can look down and see if you need a pedicure.
Right, just to give you a sense of the scale of this bathroom, just follow me.
Okay, I'm now at the other end of the bathroom.
What?
I'm at the other end of the bathroom.
Okay.
Just like Frank's house, you can rent out the whole house, including the tennis house, tennis court, and that swimming pool.
And how much do you have to empty your wallet to stay here?
It's about $5,000, including all the taxes and fees, and there's...
I'll just wait for my invite from Leo to his next party here. Maybe it would be one of those glittering mid-century Palm Springs in its heyday parties, with free-flowing dresses and free-flowing cocktails. I'd love to step back in time to those retro scenes in that oh-so-cool time with glamorous mod characters having fun in swanky spaces. And I know someone modern that's exploring those same feelings, those same images. And he's right down the road.
I used to play in bands in the 80s and 90s, and one of the bands I was in was releasing our first record, and I thought it would be unprofessional if people saw that the guitar player had also done the art for the front cover, so I had to come up with a pseudonym.
This is artist Josh Agle, but he's better known as another name.
So I took the last two letters of my first name, Josh, the first two letters of my last name, Agle, and I stuck them together, and it made shag, and I thought, that's a cool word. Yeah. You know, it has a lot of meanings, you know. Yeah. You know, we all know what it means in the UK because of Austin Powers. There's shag carpeting, there's a dance called the shag, a haircut, and I was like, that's kind of a cool name. Yeah. So that's what I stuck with.
We met Shag at the Shag Store in the Palm Springs Uptown Design District. As Shag describes it, the Shag Store is the world headquarters of all that is shag.
Palm Springs and LA are my biggest cities I try and depict in my art. And Palm Springs, especially because when I started coming out here in the late 80s and early 90s, it was not a great place. It was mostly old people focused around golf and tennis, going and having a steak at 4:30 in the afternoon and then going to bed at like 7:30 or something. It was kind of a sleepy town, but I knew it had this history. You know, I'd seen pictures of like the Rat Pack out here and celebrities and parties and the architecture. So I knew it had been something really cool. So I started painting what I thought it was like and what I wished it was like. Yeah. So it was aspirational. Yeah. So I started painting scenes of parties and people doing things in Palm Springs that I wish was actually happening. And then over time, Palm Springs sort of changed into what I had been painting.
Have you ever gone to a party and stood there and think, I'm in one of my paintings?
Yes, yeah, that happens a lot, actually. And before I was painting what I hoped Palm Springs would be, and then at some point I started painting, you know, my experiences in Palm Springs, so what it actually was.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's in here, but there's a piece of art called the Faux Pas, which is people at a party in one of those houses, you know, walls of glass, and there's a dead bird on the ground, which actually happened at a party I was at. A bird flew into a window, and yeah, so things like that will inspire a piece of art.
Shag's art features scenes tinged with irony and mischievous humor, like that dead bird or someone hiding a gun behind their back, all in vivid colors inspired by the commercial illustrations of the 50s and 60s. So just looking around the art, I'm looking at a couple of scenes here behind me, and are these inspired by real houses, real places and everything as well?
Yeah. The one on the top is the Lautner Hotel in Desert Hot Springs,
which is
by a famous mid-century architect. And I did that piece to celebrate the, I think it was the 70th anniversary of the building. Below that, that's the Charles and Ray Eames House in LA. This one over here is inspired by the Elrod House, a famous house here in Palm Springs. So a lot of it is referencing real places.
Pretty much every single one features someone holding a drink. I love that.
I used to call drinking career research because, as you said, almost every single piece of art I do, people drinking cocktails. But at some point, the research overtook the career, and I realized, hey, if I'm going to have a career as an artist, I got to stop drinking. So I stopped drinking about 10 years ago.
All right.
But I used to love afternoon drinks, you know, a mimosa, a Bloody Mary. That's the beautiful thing about Palm Springs is people start drinking at about 10:30 in the morning when they go out to brunch. And then they have a little pool party, they drink in the afternoon, they go out to dinner, they drink a little more. But they're still mostly in bed by 10 o'clock.
So where does Shag get inspiration for this world he creates? Palm Springs, of course. And Shag very kindly offered to personally drive us around and give us a tour of his favorite neighborhoods, including one very special house that hasn't been open to the public yet.
Is it called the Shagmobile?
Unfortunately, it's just the car.
Oh.
This is one of my favorite streets. You can drive down the street and imagine you're in Palm Springs in 1964. These houses, most of them have flat roofs or butterfly roof houses. Butterfly roof is where the roof splays out and gets higher on each end. A lot of them have rock work on the front, big walls of glass. Every single house in this neighborhood will have a swimming pool in the backyard because that came with the house. Besides possibly Beverly Hills and Bel Air, I don't think there's any other neighborhood you can drive around and so many houses are in such close proximity that were occupied by celebrities.
And lucky for us, Shag had a surprise waiting just around the corner. No, not a celebrity, but something else very famous around these parts. One cool sounding car.
Yeah. You can hear this thing coming down the block.
This is the Studebaker Avanti, which was designed by Raymond Loewy and his team. He lived about a block up the house, right next to the Kaufman house is Raymond Loewy's house. He brought a Tom Kellogg and a team from Detroit out here to design a sports car for Studebaker. So he came up with this guy. And if you look over here, follow me this way, we have a little history of the Avanti right here. And starting over here, this is a cover of Palm Springs Life magazine from June of 1962. And this is the prototype car right here in gold, same finish as ours, parked next to the swimming pool because everybody in California keeps their car parked next to their swimming pool, right? That's, you know, of course, surrounded by bathing beauties and a few muscle men. When they designed the car, the program
that Raymond Loewy gave to his team was, we want to design a car that is the spirit of Palm Springs. And, you know, you'll pull up to a stoplight and people will wave or they'll take a picture or something. When they see this car, they scream. They go, ah! Like, like we just landed from another planet. It's amazing.
Just hearing that vintage engine roar brought me back in time. But there is a place that doesn't just sound like the 50s, but is living, breathing modernism. And it was designed by Shag himself. We are heading to the Shag House.
I designed the exterior, the interior, the landscaping, the hardscaping, all the artwork in the house, the furniture, and it's supposed to be sort of my concept of what living in Palm Springs is like. Originally, it was going to be a Shag-themed Airbnb. But then the project grew to the point now where the house is used as an event space. It's going to be on tours for Modernism Week. 4,000 people are going to go through the house in the month of February.
Oh, wow.
And the man who funded the house currently lives there. And he was kind enough to pay for all of my whims and crazy things I proposed. So, you know, it was sort of a dream project. So this on the left is the Shag House.
Yes, I've seen that. Wow. We're just looking at, we're at the front looking at the front, and it looks like a painting.
Very cool.
So I conceived the front. It's almost like Willy Wonka, the magical door to the chocolate factory. You have these double doors that are 10 feet tall with this crazy carved sort of shag-like design in it.
Yeah.
And I wanted that to be like the first impression of the house before you go in.
All right, let's go inside.
Yeah.
Hey!
Hey, Brandon.
Thor.
Hey, Thor.
Hi, buddy.
Come on. You said hi. Come on now. Come on. Okay.
This is Brandon McBurney.
Hi. Love to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Funded the entire project and dealt with me and...
There seems to be the lime green and white is the color palette.
Lime green, white, and then when we get inside, orange.
Yep.
And some purple.
Are they your favorite colors or?
Yes. Lime green and orange are my two favorite colors. So you'll see a lot of that.
This is fantastic. I love the big open. There's a huge big open space that opens out to the pool.
And all the wallpaper in the house I designed behind you, you have these enormous cocktails. The sculpture over there, which is a hand holding a cocktail with a bottle. You're going to see that the overarching theme to this house is drinking and cocktails, which is also one of the main themes to my art. But I wanted to really emphasize the cocktail thing about the house. And if you look at the pillows on the sofa, those are lime and orange wedges that you'd have in your cocktail.
It really does feel like you're in one of Shag's paintings, but Brandon actually lives here.
Amazing dream to come true, you know. Yeah. I love it out here. I've been coming to Palm Springs for like 20 years. Love Josh, love his work, and so I really wanted to kind of do a rescue of a mid-century modern, and got the opportunity with JP and Josh to work on this, and it's just been awesome. So it's kind of like literally, I mean, you cannot not be happy in this house. It's just...
I didn't want to take it too seriously, but I wanted a lot of eye candy, a lot of things to look at, and a lot of just... You know, so people could come and have a good time. This over here is the Operation game, which is from my childhood. You used to play the game where you'd pull out the organs. Except in this case, you're pulling out bottles of alcohol.
We've got the Bacardi brain, the Hennessy heart.
The only real organ left is the liver, and the liver's not looking too good.
Yeah, lick it up. We stepped outside to the courtyard where even the pool furniture was shagified, and then two of the bedrooms, which all had their own theme. There's a Polynesian tiki room with light fixtures that are enormous skulls, a Chinese bedroom with a dragon mural and cushions with scales, and a cat bedroom with furry clocks and everything, and I mean everything, from the cushions to the lamps to the wallpaper, were designed by Shag himself. The attention to detail is insane. We ended our tour in the kitchen, which has five clocks set permanently to, you guessed it, 5 o'clock. And every clock says,
it's time for a drink.
It's just so unique, just the whole theming throughout and the colour theme, and it really is you too. It's like, you must be so happy about it. It's like your lifetime
of work into this house.
A lot of the things I proposed, they were like, are you sure you want to do that? Like, if you look at the kitchen, it's all orange with shots of lime green. And they were like, are you sure you want to do that? And I'm like, yes, I'm sure I want to do that. And now you look at it and I think it looks great.
It was time to leave, although strangely I did feel like a drink. But the vibrant colours of the shag house remind me of someone else's party place, someone quite a bit smaller.
If you're a regular listener to the show, you'll have heard me shouting about a clothing company called Doer, as in built for doing. I really love this partnership because I genuinely love their clothes and they're perfect for the kind of thing that I think we as a community are looking for. First off, they are super comfortable, super stretchy. I go for a lot of walks in the day, mainly because my dog is a master at making me feel guilty. And these things honestly feel like I'm wearing hiking pants / trousers. Secondly, and no offense to hiking pants, they don't actually look like hiking pants. I want to wear something to work that looks cool and feels like I've made a bit of an effort. And they do. I love their style. And they've got a ton of great winter all-weather jeans that are water and windproof, so you can still get after it no matter what the weather. And check this out. If you roll up the bottom of the legs, there's even a reflective strip on some of their jeans for riding your bike home safely after work, or presumably tearing it up on the dance floor. How ingenious is that? So go ahead, do what I did and upgrade your denim with Doer. You can check out their flagship stores in LA or Denver, or just shop online, shopdoer.com, explore. That's D-U-E-R. And right now, if you use that URL, you are going to get 20% off your first purchase, which is massive. So remember, it's shopdoer.com/explore. That's an awesome deal. So don't wait. Get that 20% off. Get doing. You won't regret it. I highly recommend it. Check it out. shopdoer.com/explore.
This episode is brought to you by United Airlines. When you want to make the most of your vacation, book with United. They're an airline that cares about your travels as much as you do. United is transforming the flying experience with Bluetooth connectivity, screens, power at every seat, and bigger overhead bins to help fit everyone's bag. And with their app, you can skip the bag check line, get live updates, and more. Change the way you fly. Book your next trip today at united.com.
Now, I brought something very new, very groundbreaking. So I brought her just for, this is her first interview.
Time to recharge. Plant your feet on the ground. Stand up and stretch. Reach your fingers to the sky as high as you can and touch the clouds. Now, open up your arms and shine as bright as the sun.
That's Lisa Vossler-Smith and Barbie. Lisa just happens to be CEO of Modernism Week, but she also has a very unique hobby on the side.
I was actually given a very special Christmas gift by a family member that was a vintage collection of her original Ken and Barbie and their clothing. And that got me started taking their photographs, because suddenly I had these 1959, 1960s, you know, early 60s dolls and their period clothing. And because of my life at Modernism Week, I am in front of mid-century modern homes all the time. And so I started experimenting what it would look like if I took these vintage dolls in their period clothes and took their pictures at these 50s homes. I really liked what happened. All of a sudden I could see the perspective. The dolls were miniature, but the house was in perspective and looked life-size, you know, in the photograph. And I could tilt their heads and change their expression, and you know, suddenly I had sort of this life-size image of this fantasy Palm Springs.
So 8 years ago, Lisa started an Instagram account called Tiny Palm Springs, and since then Barbie has been to many cocktail parties with Ken, done lots of shopping, dining and swimming, and even hung out with Priscilla while Elvis flirted with Marilyn Monroe at a Thanksgiving dinner.
So I've always enjoyed making small things. I like scale models. I like building Legos. I like tiny cars and things. So when I first started wanting to take photographs in elaborate settings like a Thanksgiving dinner, I realized I was going to have to learn how to make miniature food. I enjoy so much the fashion, the miniatures, the dolls themselves, making the dioramas, the photography, casting my stories, and, you know, developing the storylines. It's such a creative process to it that the photograph that ends up on Instagram is actually kind of the end product. Yeah. I've spent weeks, maybe months, developing these silly photographs that I can share with the world.
So where does all this fun take place in tiny Palm Springs and the life-size version of Palm Springs too?
A lot happens poolside in Palm Springs. So not only do you brunch by the pool, but you can have lunch by the pool. You can certainly spend your afternoon by the pool. We always have cocktails by the pool, and then there's martinis by the pool. If you're lucky enough, after dinner, you might get to float in the pool, you know. So the pool is pretty central to a lot of my stories, and every glamorous house in Palm Springs has a pool. So most of the dioramas that I have will be centered around a lavish gathering space, some kind of living room or party space, and then I usually build them a swimming pool as well. And I challenge myself to try to photograph it both at day and night so that I get day and night shots in these same little sets that I build. And when I exhaust those efforts and get entirely bored, I take them out in the real world and photograph them at the hotels and restaurants where I'm hanging out. And one of the central characters in my stories is Elvis, because in case you didn't know, Elvis is alive and well and living in tiny Palm Springs.
The Elvis, which is sitting right in front of us here on the table, it's the 1967 Elvis with his wedding tuxedo on. I don't know if Priscilla will be too happy because the girl next to him is certainly not Priscilla.
Yes, it's Margot Robbie right next to him. You know? I think he even has a wedding ring on. Do you see a wedding ring there? There's this like epic, legendary aura still about Elvis Presley in this town. And so I have this fun fantasy about him living still, you know, in our hearts and minds in Palm Springs, and why not in tiny Palm Springs? But in my stories, he does real life things, like he floats in the pool and he takes out the trash and he has a granddaughter. You know, he kind of has a real life story.
Has Elvis been for a drink at Frank's house? Has he been to Twin Palms?
He has. He has actually spent the night at Twin Palms. So I've photographed him extensively there. He's been there with Marilyn Monroe, if I'm honest. I was producing an event there and I had the dolls with me overnight. And so then, well, they had their own room.
Lisa creates this modernism world, but people flock to Palm Springs to experience it. Even Barbie was inspired by Palm Springs in the mid-mod era.
Modernism isn't just purely form follows function and strict modernist architecture. We're really talking about a post-World War II period that encompasses the atomic age, the industrial age, the tiki era. You know, there's so much to it. Even Barbie fits into that mid-century period. But now, the Barbie movie has made, you know, such an incredible sensation, not only out of Barbie herself, but of Barbie Land and the modern architecture of the cul-de-sac that she lived in. And I don't know if you noticed, the beautiful palm trees and the mountains behind in the backdrop look very much like our Coachella Valley. And the designers and Greta, of course, the director and writer, did say that they were inspired by Palm Springs and the architecture of Palm Springs. So I feel like I'm living in a Barbie dreamland a little bit.
As Lisa said, modernism isn't just architecture. It's also Hawaiian shirts, tropical decor, and fancy fruity cocktails served in thatched roof tiki bars.
Do you have a recommendation, something to you that says screams Palm Springs?
Ambrosia is probably the closest thing to Palm Springs, unless you're going for the actual Palm Springs punch. Palm Springs punch I came up with, I want to say, 15 or 16 years ago.
Palm Springs punch, if that's your creation, I think.
I'm up for it. You guys up for a Palm Springs punch?
Absolutely.
Three Palm Springs punch?
You got it.
This is Rory Snyder,
also known as the King of Caliente and the Master of Mod. He's the owner of the Reef Tiki Bar, one of six tiki bars in Palm Springs.
Well, tiki became a thing probably with James Michener years ago during the war, when you had service members go overseas for the first time in their life, where flying back in the day was for affluent people. And this is the first time blue-collar people going to war would go to these exotic places and see these exotic women, exotic looks, and they would come home and create these thatch-like getaways in their basement. Then James Michener wrote the book South Pacific, and it kind of started a whole trend, and people like Don the Beachcomber and Trader Vic made versions of these and monetized it into bar restaurants, which have tropical drinks which were based off of rum.
In the early 1950s, a version of Don the Beachcomber's Tiki Bar restaurant opened here, and celebrities flocked to it. Frank Sinatra apparently loved the Navy grog made with rum.
Back in the day, rum was very cheap. That's why they would call you a rummy if you drank too much. It was an insult. But they would make tropical drinks based off of rum, throw a lot of fruit flavor over it, and it became a trend of America wanting to escape into a more, or I should say, less refined place. These guys are usually going to work in gray flannel suits, you know, shirts tucked in. So to untuck a shirt or to have a girl in a bikini serving them was sexy before there was a such thing as a hippie. You know, it was very exotic and escapism for people.
The Reef Bar certainly looks very exotic. The island-inspired decor includes carved wooden faces hanging on the wall, a signed photo of Don Ho, and perfectly tacky tiki paintings, while the smooth tones of surf guitar music spills from unseen speakers, and floral festooned patrons sip out of ceramic mugs. But the decor also has a habit of following Rory home.
I have an extensive collection at my house. Original artifacts from Elvis movies that we have in the jungle room next door. And on this side, we have a lot of original stuff from old tiki bars that don't exist anymore. And including my vintage six-band rattan couch over there that used to sit in my living room. So some of this stuff is starting to gravitate back to my house.
What are you putting in the Palm Springs punch and how are you making it?
That's a secret. One that he's come up with. So if he wants to divulge a secret, he can.
You can tell him if you want.
So it's a blend of pineapple juice, lime juice, spiced rum, a little sweetener, and an almond liqueur called Creme de Noyau. And that all comes together to make like a fruit, the really solid fruit punch.
We've got our drinks now. Let's have a cheers. Thank you so much for meeting us.
Oh, I love this bar.
Oh, that's good. Rory loved tiki so much that in 2008, he founded an annual event called Tiki Caliente, which takes place every May in Palm Springs.
Imagine 600 people taking over this hotel, room parties, 12 live bands, symposiums to educate you on different liquors, history of tiki. Last year we did it on Don Blanding, the poet of the 1920s to the 1950s. Just a weekend of a lot of people that think the same. They're all into vintage attire. And when you get into something like tiki, you realize it's almost like karate. There's a lot of layers to it, and it could take you 10 years to learn it all, because you come in maybe with a Tommy Bahama shirt on and you're drinking, you know, Malibu rum. By year two, you're buying vintage shirts. You're looking for vintage shirts in thrift stores. Then you're looking for, you know, rums from Martinique. You don't want the lazier rums. So you find yourself kind of evolving it to a point that next thing you know, 5 years later, you're wearing vintage suit jackets from Hawaii in the 1950s, which is this brand called Sandwich Isle that we wear now. And because tiki's become such a thing, the prices on those jackets are like $1,000 now, when you used to be able to find them for $80 to $100.
We're trying to sort of outdo each other when they come to Tiki Caliente to be the most tiki almost.
Yeah, it's a show-off spot. The one thing I'd say about ours that makes it really unique and I'm proud of is everyone comes here to celebrate the lifestyle and enjoy each other's company. It's not just to be seen. Most of the people that come to this event, we're in pre-sales right now, they live the lifestyle year-round. They are going to come no matter what. This is like a family reunion every year for them.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in detail.
The number one selling product of its kind with over 20 years of research and innovation. Botox Cosmetic, onabotulinum toxin A, is a prescription medicine used to temporarily make moderate to severe frown lines, crow's feet, and forehead lines look better in adults.
Effects of Botox Cosmetic may spread hours to weeks after injection, causing serious symptoms. Alert your doctor right away as difficulty swallowing, speaking, breathing, eye problems, or muscle weakness may be a sign of a life-threatening condition. Patients with these conditions before injection are at highest risk. Don't receive Botox Cosmetic if you have a skin infection. Side effects may include allergic reactions, injection site pain, headache, eyebrow and eyelid drooping, and eyelid swelling. Allergic reactions can include rash, welts, asthma symptoms, and dizziness. Tell your doctor about medical history, muscle or nerve conditions including ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease, myasthenia gravis, or Lambert-Eaton syndrome and medications, including botulinum toxins, as these may increase the risk of serious side effects. For full safety information, visit BotoxCosmetic.com or call 877-351-0300.
See for yourself at BotoxCosmetic.com.
For our last night in Palm Springs, we are having dinner with the stars. Melbourne's restaurant at the Ingleside Inn was opened in 1975. It's the kind of restaurant where servers wear tuxedos and there's throwback ambience in spades, with a chandelier-strewn dining room and table settings resplendent in tufted pale pink. It exudes glamour and has been the go-to place to be seen since the doors first opened.
So starting with the rooms, Villa One, Clark Gable and Carol Lombard spent their honeymoon.
This is Dan Ruiz. He's been working here for 35 years and was the driver for owner Mel Haber, a.k.a. Mr. Palm Springs. We met Dan at the lounge for a drink. A martini, of course.
Villa 2, John Wayne stayed. Villa 7, John Travolta. Villa 8, Elizabeth Taylor and Larry Fortensky, her seventh husband. They met at rehab, of all places, Betty Ford. Villa 10, Debbie Reynolds. 11, Mickey Rooney. 12, Marion Ross from Happy Days. She was here twice, nice lady. 14, Valerie Harper married Tyler Morshow, also a nice lady. 15, room 15, Arnold Schwarzenegger and Maria Shriver, once a month. 19, Lily Pons and Andre Castellanos.
On the wall next to us are more than 20 black and white frame photos. Mel Haber is in every single one, and he's posing with celebrities here at Melvin's. Lucille Ball, Barry Manilow, John Travolta, Bob Hope, Liza Minnelli, Cher. But sometimes even the stars couldn't get in.
On opening night at Melvin's, a man showed up and a woman on a motorcycle, and Mel chased them away. And they were dressed in jeans. He didn't recognize them. He had no idea who they were. So a few minutes later, one of the concierge called from the local hotel and said, "Mel, I just sent over Steve McQueen, Ally McGraw. They're in a motorcycle. Did they get there yet?" Well, that's when he realized that he had just chased them away.
Producer Jason is wearing jeans, but thankfully they haven't thrown him out yet, because we have a very special dinner reservation at a very special table.
You're actually in the best seat of the house. That is exactly where Frank would sit.
This is Brian Mitchell, the food and beverage director at Melvin's.
If you look behind me, you have a great direct view of the front door. Back in the day when Frank sat there, anyone would come into the host stand that he didn't really want to see or talk to. He would kind of keep an eye on that way. Scoop behind this curtain here, go out through the kitchen, and then come around out front where his car was always parked. Peel out the front gates and off to his house. That way nobody saw him, he didn't have to talk with them, and the team here knew to, okay, Frank will be back another day, we'll settle him up then.
So even now, you know, Frank died in 98,
Do people even make a reservation to come to Melbourne? Do people still ask to sit at Frank's table?
Almost every week we get at least one request. It's kind of funny when we have parties of six or four or larger groups. We want to sit at Frank's table. And they come in and we show them. We're like, it's a two-person table. It's a nice corner intimate table.
An intimate table that I'm sharing with Jason. Frank's favourite drink was Jack Daniels and water. But I have to admit, I'm not a big Jack Daniels fan. But his second favourite drink is a martini. And I'm here with my hot date, Jason. And I'm sitting in Frank's seat and we've got our martini. Cheers.
Cheers.
So Frankie loved this restaurant so much that this table we're at, table 53, was left vacant every night, just in case he turned up. And when he did turn up, he ordered exactly the same thing, a steak Diane. And how's this on cue? A steak Diane is just turning up. We've just ordered the steak Diane, and we're about to get it served.
So we have a steak Diane's here, cooked to a medium rare. Get this pan on, nice and hot. Little extra virgin olive oil.
Just like when Frank had steak here, the sauce is prepared and cooked by the waiter on a cart right in front of you.
Start off with some garlic and shallots. Saute that so it gets nice and brown. Right away you're gonna smell that deliciousness from that cooking. Once you start seeing a little color to that, stick into the pan a little and throw in our butter. Wow. Get that butter melted, caramelize those garlic and shallots. Now that smells way better. Throw in our white oyster mushrooms, a little hen of the wood mushrooms as well. Saute that. Oh yes, now for the fun stuff. A little bit of brandy to heat things up a bit. Opa.
The flames are over 2 feet high, a perfectly Hollywood spectacle. If it weren't for the phone in my hand capturing the blazing steak before me, the scene could just as easily have been from decades ago.
Once that brandy cooks down, then we throw in our demi-glaze, which has all that great flavor. It's a veal broth, red wine reduction, horseradish, Worcestershire, Dijon, and a little cream at the end. Fresh ground pepper. Let all those great flavors come together.
It smells amazing.
Just like Frank Sinatra used to love it.
Let's
enjoy, gentlemen.
Being a massive Frank Sinatra fan, knowing that I'm sitting in his seat, eating his same meal, having his same drink, this is one special moment for me. You know, this is huge. I'm very excited.
Do I see a tear coming out of that eye over there?
Yes.
Let's dig it.
We won't make you listen to Jason and I oohing and ahhing as we ate one of the best steaks I've ever had. I even ordered more bread so I could soak up every tiny drop of the sauce. No wonder it was Frank's favourite. I was already pretty full, but I had to have Frank's favourite dessert too. Except our waiter told us that he had two favourites.
Either have the banana Fosters, which is caramelized with a little caramel, brown sugar and butter, little brandy flamed up, served right over vanilla bean ice cream. Or you have the cherry jubilee. Same thing, brown sugar, butter, cherries, little brandy flamed up right over three scoops of vanilla bean ice cream. Most popular ones.
I'm a massive Frank Sinatra fan. I know that he loved his cherry jubilee.
Yes.
Can we get the cherry jubilee to share?
Classic cherry jubilee it is, with two spoons, any coffees, espressos or cappuccinos, or Jack Daniels on the rocks, like Frank Sinatra would do. Perfect, I'll bring that right out.
Frank must have liked the show at the table because our dessert was also prepared and set on fire right in front of us.
Pan getting nice and hot for a cherry jubilee with a little butter, brown sugar, low calorie, sugar free,
No worries. Cherries, let that get nice and hot. This is our classic canned cherries. Melt that butter down. Get those cherries caramelized in that. And then we'll throw in our brandy, everyone's favorite. Oh yes, the good stuff. We have our vanilla bean ice cream on the side here. Oh yes, and I love this one, this nice blue flame. He loved the tension, that's for sure. Oh yes, he would always sit at this table on Toronto, right in front of him. Reserve this dining room for his fourth wife's wedding rehearsal dinner. And I've been here for only 3 years and taking care of so many celebrities here. Just from Avril Lavigne, Keanu Reeves, Tori Spellings, Lawrence Fishburne, Gary Oldman, which is my favorite. Oh, yes. You just never know who you're going to sit next to on these days. Enjoy. Bon appetit. You're welcome.
We did leave a tip, just not a Frank Sinatra-sized one. Dan told us that one time Frank asked the valet, "What's the biggest tip you've ever gotten?" And the valet said, $100. Mr. Sinatra said, "What cheap bastard gave you that $100? And the valet said, "He did." So he gave him another $100. And thank you, Melvins. Just an institution, somewhere you just can't experience something like this. You can go to a restaurant and have a meal, but to go somewhere that just has so much history and so many famous people have eaten here, and where can you experience this? Here in Palm Springs, this is where you can do it.
And now we're going to try to fit through the doors to get out of here.
What a perfect way to finish our trip back in time. And we didn't even have to slip out the back door. But here's the wonderful thing. The mid-century modern vibe is very much alive in Palm Springs. And you can't help but feel infused with the glitz of celebrities who lived and partied here over the years. Yes, it evokes that spirit of a more glamorous time. But whether it's sipping a martini by your mid-century hotel pool, dining on Steak Diane at Frank Sinatra's table, or touring the iconic neighborhoods, that showbiz glamour of the past will rub off on you. Thank you for joining me on Find Your Palm Springs. Remember, you too can experience everything we've done in this episode. Just go to visitgreaterpalmsprings.com for inspiration. Thank you to everyone who featured in this episode. Our guide Kip from the Palm Springs Historical Society, artist and style king Josh Agle, better known as Shag, Barbie Queen and Modernism Week CEO Lisa Vossler-Smith, Dan Ruiz from the Lingerside Inn, Brian Mitchell, the food and beverage manager, and all the staff from Melvins. If you enjoyed this episode, stay tuned for more. Next time we'll be doing lots of relaxing. Palm Springs has been widely recognised as a wellness destination for more than a century, drawing people from across the country for its sunny, dry climate and curative hot waters. We are going to be soaking in ancient spring waters, going to the source with a local Native American tribe member, getting lost in a sound bath, and discovering how night skies can give you a visceral sense of well-being. So hit that subscribe button and follow us wherever you get your shows. You don't want to miss any of this. This series was produced by Armchair Productions, the audio experts for the travel industry. I'm Brian Thacker, and I wrote and hosted the series, and Jason Patton recorded, mixed, sound designed, and tinkled on Frank's piano. Charles Tyree helped with audio editing, and Aaron Miller executive produced it. See you next time, and as Frank says, the best is yet to come.
I did consider Barney a friend, and he's still a friend to this day.
The idea of Barney is something that I want to live up to. You know, I love you, you love me. I call it the purple mantra.
Barney taught me how to be a man.
Generation Barney, a podcast about the media we loved as kids and how it shapes us. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Whit Mistledine, the creator of This Is Actually Happening, a podcast from Wondery that brings you extraordinary, true stories of life-changing events told by the people who lived them. From a young man that dooms his entire future family with one choice, to a woman that barely survived her roommate, we dive into what happened and hear their intimate, first-person account of how they overcame remarkable circumstances. Follow This Is Actually Happening on Amazon Music or wherever you get your podcasts. Or listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app.